from the framing of a house to the framing of pictures, and from becoming good at hand signs to becoming bad at mitten. Those of you who have been involved in mini classes this week have been experiencing a variety of activities with which perhaps you had not come into contact before. Individuals who have developed some experience in certain areas have provided you with overviews of some of their pastimes and interests. But let's put you in the leadership position for a moment. Let's say that you are the one conducting the mini class. You have only a short amount of time in which to present the essential components of an important topic, and the topic is Christianity. What would you say? What might you use? Well, in a sense, the materials for that particular mini class have already been prepared, and they are as close as your fingertips this morning in the form of the hymnals. In the Lutheran hymnal, that to which I am referring is found throughout the liturgical sections, pages 12 and 22 and 53. In the LSB, if you'll look inside the back cover, there they are, ready to go. Inside the back cover, the editors felt it important to place and make just that accessible, the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed, in addition to placing them in the section of the liturgies found in the fore part of the hymnal. In addition, the Athanasian Creed, though not found in this back cover, is located on one of the internal pages as well. In perpetuation of a tradition which has been a fixture of the Christian church for centuries, we make use of such confessions of faith, known as creeds. And the tradition is about as ancient as it gets. The practice of having a congregation recite together basic statements of Christian doctrine dates all the way back to biblical times. There are certain portions of the New Testament which, because of their literary design, appear to have been early forms of Christian creeds, which some of the writers then quoted. One example is found in Paul's letter to Timothy, his first letter to Timothy. Hear how briefly and succinctly the following statements present important material concerning our Savior Jesus. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. It appears as though from the very earliest times, Christians in their assemblies participated in joint recitations of statements concerning the person and work of Jesus, viewing them as very important. Why? Why do we devote a certain portion of our weekly services to the speaking of these historic paragraphs? Why, especially when one considers that they actually are not direct quotes from Scripture? Well, the words of our creeds may not be precise quotes from Scriptures, but they do precisely declare what the Scriptures say. And as such, they are greatly beneficial. One might think that the initial benefit for the repetition of creeds is to be found in reaching out to the unchristians, to non-believers. For that which we want non-believers to know, non-Christians, that which they have to know, is all contained very well and very concisely in the wording of these creeds. It's difficult to imagine a more precise way of presenting the person and work of Jesus than by one of these texts. These creeds, which were born of controversies, however, appear to have been carefully worded primarily to underscore and secure the doctrines which they sought to defend. The creeds seem to have been written much more for the purpose of preventing the reintroduction of dangerous heresies which presented themselves early on, heresies which continue to be at the threshold of Christianity still in our own time. This is taken from a book called Christian Worship Manual. The creed is a summary and profession of the Christian faith. We believe is the striking reminder that this is a confession of the whole Christian church on earth concerning the teachings of Scripture and especially about the person of Christ. False teachings relative to the God of our salvation will not prevail. Believers join their voices with one another and the whole Christian church on earth to speak out God's truth. They declare confidently that Jesus is God from God, light from light, true God from true God. The solid and concise words of the historic creeds help prevent the intrusion of destructive error and can serve as a counterthrust to the devil's determination to get false words, lies, to replace the truth. And in doing so, the Christian creeds also then serve to cement in our own hearts the heart of the gospel. A recognized expert in Christian liturgy named Luther Reed points out how the Third Synod of Toledo in 589 introduced the creed into the Mass in all Spanish churches as part of an effort to confirm the people in their conversion to Christianity and to combat the Arian heresy. Day by day and week by week, the devil does his best to shake the foundations of our faith. He wants to create cracks in our Christian confidence, which he hopes will then cause our faith to crumble. He wants to shake our belief that Jesus is the one through whom all things were made, that he came down from heaven and was born of a virgin, that he suffered, was crucified, died, was buried, that he rose, that he's exalted to heaven's highest throne, that he will soon come to judge everyone who has ever lived, that he makes part of his church every single person who puts confidence in him as only Savior, and that the Holy Spirit gives new birth and the forgiveness of sins through the sacrament of baptism. By giving voice week after week to these truthful declarations of the creeds, we are strengthening the faith that saves. Speaking of one of the creeds, this Reed adds, "Its brief but comprehensive statements encompass the whole dispensation of God. It outlines and preserves in balanced proportion Christianity's fundamental beliefs. It witnesses to the perpetuity, unity, and universality of the Christian faith. It binds Christians to one another and to the faithful of all centuries." There are those, you may have heard, who criticize the use of creeds. Some churches say they don't want creeds but deeds. And it is true that we run a risk in using the same material over and over again of becoming mechanical in their proclamation, of just saying the words without giving much thought to what is being said. But the creeds, when properly used with thought for the strengthening of faith, they do go hand in hand with deeds as they strengthen the faith, which inevitably produces good works. It's not an either or. It's not deeds or creeds, but creeds can help strengthen the faith that bring about fruitful deeds. As you rise next time to confess your faith in the words of one of the creeds, therefore, perhaps it'll be helpful to think the words present, prevent, and cement. By speaking together such well-crafted words, we are able to present the message of life to others, prevent certain errors from taking root, and cement in heart and mind a correct understanding of the wonderful person and work of our Savior Jesus. The Christian creeds, many in size, but magnificent in meaning. We sing of the Trinity this morning in the form of hymn 506.